Yeah, hello. Good morning, Kobe. I'm not awake at this time of the day, so if I start snoring, wake me up. You see, the first thing I put into this slide, my name is Eike Radke, some may know me. I put in this slide the spelling of internationalization. It's sometimes it's an S, sometimes it's a Z, depends on where you are. And it's just an example of that. Not even one language is the same throughout the world. So if you localize, for example, an openoffice.org for English, UK, you got to spell it with an S, and the Americans spell it with a Z. I took some myths from a blog from a woman who used to work for Sun. She did a lot of internationalization from Sun products. My product uses open source, and so internationalization requirements don't apply. Okay, that's it. We're through with it. That was the presentation. It's a myth amongst, I think, quite some numbers of CEOs and some managers of big companies who think open source software is crap and it's just English and or it's just for administrators and you don't have to localize anything, which of course is not true. The agenda of this presentation is clarifying just some terms, some history, how the thing developed, what we had before, and mention some standards so that you know what the numbers are standing for, what we talk about, and going over from the history to them to some picture of the today services, how they are related, how we use ICU a little bit, and the shortcomings of our current implementation, and then going over to it to do what we have to do next in the near future and so on, some picture, and of course some QA, question and answers. I start with the glossary. The first term we have is locale. I put the spelling onto it and the pronunciation locale because some people call it locale and confuse it with local. I even got a bug filed, an issue filed, that we misspelled locale somewhere. Of course, it's not true. And a locale is a combination of a language plus a country or a region or cultural dependencies. The next one is globalization. Globalization is overused in many places. Globalization is mostly for CEOs, for managers, for sometimes for marketing, for example. And we have the impression that globalization is sometimes used for has a negative meaning, to impose something on others and to simplify things and to simplify it such that you can make much money out of it. I prefer not to use the term globalization with software. Globalization is the overall process of building software, internationalized software, localized software, and deploy software globally on the world. The next is internationalization. And the process of internationalization is to abstract out all the local details you may have. Means all the messages you have, all icons sometimes, for example, for fat, bold, have different icons. So in Germany it's fat with an F, bold with a B, for example. And localization, of course, the last step is that you specify all particular local data you have to use in your product. An ideal internationalized program has the goals to be the same executable can run worldwide, and you have no hard-coded UI messages or labels. The culturally dependent data is localized, and support for new languages does not require recompilation. This is true for OpenOffice, but you need to have the entire source tree to compile the new resource files. It's not source files that the code is changed, but we have our own resource system, and therefore we need our own build environment to build these things. And the goal is, of course, to localize it quickly. And that's, of course, not true for OpenOffice.org. You need long time to localize it. There are a lot of culturally dependent data. So on the left column is more what you see on the UI. It's all the messages, online help, sounds, colors, and so on. And on the right is more content of documents. There once was a good example for the graphics. You can't even use graphics normally throughout the whole world, because if you use gestures, they don't mean the same in different countries. You can't even use gestures normally, because some gestures may offend people. And also for graphics, it's the same, like a dog doesn't mean the same all over the world. It can be a pet, it can be a farm animal, or it can be food. It depends where you are. So you can't use them all over the world. So now the history of the class international. I don't know how many of you are developers actually. Some, okay. Others are localizers, or no? Yeah. And two, okay. So the history of the class international was that the class international is very code-centric, and we had table data that was hard-coded into the source code, and we had two tables. One was for the languages, and one was for the countries or regions, mostly countries. And all the code in the language table, for example, you had very, very few functions that actually, for example, handled character data, like comparing characters, case ignoring characters. And there was always this example with the Turkish I's. They have different I's, a small letter I and a capital letter I, with and without dots. It both exists, and the capital letter I without dot transliterates into small letter without dot, which of course no ASCII comparison can do. Then it was very flexible on Windows only, because it pulled in all the Windows data from the regional settings. We had routines that merged in the regional settings data into the set of the international class, but it worked only on Windows. So if you have the same document on another platform, it did not have any of this data, just some hard-coded presets. And of course, document looked completely different on another platform. The thing was very centric on the Microsoft locale identifier, which is a 60-bit value, and combines the primary language ID with the sub-language ID. Primary language ID is always a language. A sub-language ID can be anything, most times it's a country. And there are some user definable value ranges, which we currently use, for example, for Swazi or for some other languages that are not predefined by Microsoft. A whole bunch of languages is predefined by Microsoft, but not all OpenOffice currently uses. If you're interested in all these language values and how they are made up, the description is in the comments of the Tools Inc. Lang HXX. And there's some number formatter legacy. The number formatter displays values according to locale data rules. The old binary format had fixed meanings of format indices. Called the number formatter, give me the format, for example, index one meant we had get displayed an integer number. And then there were some format codes that followed the regional settings. For example, this number system index 5, and it meant that if you configured your Windows to display a number with three leading zeros, whatever, you had that in your document, but only on Windows. Same with the date system, for example. The date you had could configure to have 4-digit years, 2-digit years, whatever. And the document displayed it as well, but only on Windows. The settings were obtained for separators and the order in which the year, month, and date were displayed. For example, we have these constants from index 20, index 21, whereas one means 2-digit years, the other 4-digit years. We still use the index 21, for example, to edit dates in the Calc spreadsheet. So if you have a date entered in your Calc spreadsheet and displayed in any date format you like, if you press F2 to edit it, you will always do this with this index 21. This is still a leftover. So then there were defined these system dates, and that could be any order, date first, month, year, or month first, day, year, like in the US, or year first, month, day. If you're interested in these names from the constants, you will find them in the format number format index IDL I mentioned on the bottom. And the values generated are in the solver. So if you're a developer, you can look up the values there. We still have to comment them in the IDL file, so you don't have to look them up. This is important for the local data definement. Then in 2000, we started to do a transition to a new ITNN framework. It had to replace the class international wherever possible. And until now, we still have a few places that call class international. I removed them in a second, in a separate child workspace, which will go into OpenOffice 3.0. And of course, this ITNN framework started to be focused on easy adoption by the application, so the application doesn't have to change much code in all calling conventions and how it uses data. So we had a similar data layout, for example, of the structures of the local data itself. And almost identical method names and functionality was provided by a wrapper that is in the UnoTools module. The ITNN framework itself is only a Uno API-based module, a real component nowadays. Back then, it still used functionality from the Tools module, was interwoven with some other things, and could not be separated. Today, it is possible to separate it and even to re-implement it. And there were parallel worlds of OpenOffice.org and StarOffice for about a year and a half, or maybe more, where the module ITNN had some basic implementation for OpenOffice, and StarOffice had better implementations for CJK, Chinese, Japanese, Korean, for example, and dictionary-based lookups and whatever. And OpenOffice.org didn't have that. And then we had made successive implementations, bit by bit, moving functionality to the new ITNN pool, how it's called today, and implementing everything you need for an OpenOffice.org suite to fulfill the requirements of CJK and CTL languages nowadays, which came later. And now we only have one thing in StarOffice that is not in OpenOffice.org, that is an Hangul Hanja conversion dictionary, which is a proprietary database we can't publish. And of course, we did not use in Class International and old StarOffice code any standards that existed besides that Microsoft locale identifier, as there is the ISO 639 language codes. Nowadays, we support Alpha 2 and Alpha 3 codes. Alpha 3 codes since version 2.0. Alpha 2 codes before. From the Alpha 3 codes, we only need the terminological codes, the 2/-T. There are. We don't use bibliographic codes. We don't need them. It's just to mention them that they exist. Currently, there is a process of defining language codes for every existing language on the world. That's the ISO 639-3. That is developed at the SIL, the Standard Institute for Languages, I think. I've written it down. Yeah. Summer Institute of Linguistics, so that's it. That was the previous name. They're active since 1934 in teaching languages. And they're interested to have codes for every language existing. Also dead languages, not only spoken language, also dead languages. Then planned is the ISO 639-4. With implementation guidelines and general principles for language coding. So if they define that, it's planned for 2007, we may have guidelines how to handle all these languages. And I don't know what's about this 639-5, Alpha 3 codes for language families and groups. It was just mentioned by them. Then we have the ISO 15924 script codes, which are four letters or three digits. Script codes, example, for Latin or Cyrillic. So, for example, you can have Serbian in two scripts, Latin, normal readable letters for Europeans, and the Cyrillic letters. And these scripts are not yet supported by OpenOffice.org. Then we have the ISO 3166 country codes, which is ISO 3166 comes in several parts. The first part is the Alpha 2 country code, which you probably know, which is also used by OpenOffice.org. Example is the SI for Slovenia, DE for Germany, or ZA for South Africa. These codes are made up of letters the language themselves use. For example, DE Deutschland, or ZA for Südafrika from the Afrikaans. Other parts of this ISO standard is the Alpha 3 and the Numeric 3 code, but it's only available commercial. You have to buy them. Pay about 150, 200, 300 euros depending on the database just to get these codes. So we won't use them in any open source implementation. There are also subdivision region codes. For example, this SIO1 I noted down as a region here in Slovenia. Where is it? How do you call it? Does anybody know? Pomurska? Does anybody know Pomurska? Must be here somewhere. Or the DHHH, for example, is for Hamburg, or ZAWC is in South Africa, the West Cape area. Also, we don't support these. We don't need them in OpenOffice.org, just to mention that they are there, that they exist. Then we have, of course, the ISO 42017, which is about currency codes, which is mostly the two-letter country code plus the first letter of the currency. Sometimes it isn't. Examples are euros and USD, for example. And there's, of course, the ISO 8601 for date and time representation. This example here is the complete date and time. Time showing only minutes here, no seconds and no time zone, which is used, for example, also in the open document file format to store date and times. There's, of course, the Unicode character coding system, which we use, which has a unique number for every character. And this, no matter what the platform, no matter what the program, no matter what language, I shamelessly took from the website mentioned there at unicode.org, what is Unicode? They have a whole bunch of documents about Unicode. So if you're interested, go there, visit them. Then what we partly implement as a standard is the RFC 366. It's a text for the identification of languages in documents in the web, which consists of a primary subtag, which can either be an ISO 639-1 or 2. It can be an I something, where the I something is in registered with the IANA, which is the Internet Authority of numbers and authority. All right. I'm a bit through with my places. Okay, you can ask me later what it is. And it's an X something. Anybody can define an X something. It's a private use area. Also, this one is not supported by OpenOffice.org. And then there's the second subtag. That's mostly it's an ISO 3166 alpha 2 code, or it can be also a 3-8 letters IANA registered code. These examples down at the bottom, for example, are Slovenian languages, or the SR Cyrillic, SR Latin are also registered with the IANA, and are not supported by OpenOffice.org. It can have also subsequent subtexts that mention other country regions, dialects or variants, which are also not supported. There is a successor of this. This is the RFC 366Bs. It's a planned successor. It's currently under development, and we have more detailed of that later. This is an overall picture of the services we support today. You see that much is based on local data. This local data is what you submit if you want to have a local properly supported. Did anyone of you submit local data? No. Does anyone know how they are built or set up? You do. One. Yeah. So much about local data, and much about the services that depend on local data. So we have the calendar that, of course, uses the month names, the day names, and so on, and which week, which day of the week starts in the year, and so on. We have the native number supplier that is a service that displays number strings in local digits. For example, Thai digits or Korean number strings and Chinese digits and so on. This number format mapper is the thing we invented to map the number formats we define in the XML file to our old structures so we can use them as they are. We have an index entry supplier, which sometimes is confused with the collator service, because you have to specify character range where characters are sorted into, but this is just to display indexes in a text document, for example. You have an index and this word occurs there and there on that and that page. For most languages, this is identical to the normal sorting, to the normal collator routines, but for some languages it differs. For example, for Japanese, which is why we had to need it. Then we have transliteration. To transliterate characters means either from uppercase to lowercase, or also between the width of characters. We have half-width and full-width characters of ASCII characters you use in for example, with CJK languages. We use full-width characters. Then we have the collator, which is about sorting, where the letters are sorted into. And we have a chapter collator, which is a special implementation of the collator. And it's just for chapters and sorts numbers differently. For example, you have chapter 1 and chapter 11, and these can differ between languages and are not necessarily sorted in their alphabet. We have the character classification. Character classification means every character has properties, like is it a letter, is it a digit, is it alphabetic, is it punctuation, or all these groups are identified by the character classification. The character classification itself may use transliteration services, also the native number supplier service, in its parser. There's an ITNN parser built into the character classification. You can feed in any string you want, and it tries to identify the string. You can say specify what you want as a result, and therefore it needs to know about native digits, for example. So in Calc, it is possible to have an input in Thai digits, and you get the result as a just ordinary double value. Then we have an input sequence checker. Input sequence checkers are important also for some CTL languages like Thai, and don't know, do you use them in Khmer with Javier? Yeah, you use it, yeah. And very important, the break iterator. Break iterator is a service that has knows about the boundaries of text in different contexts. So where to break between words, where to break if you split up a line, do you want hyphenation or not? And then there's the text conversion. I already mentioned that. That's mainly between Hangul and Hanja, or also Chinese simplified, and the traditional Chinese can also be a text conversion. So that's conversion of text between two different writing systems. OpenOffice.org uses the ICU, the international component for Unicode, initialized by IBM. we use not all that ICU offers. We use Unicode data, the character types and the script types, and the break iterator service we implement use the break iterator data from the ICU. You can also define own break iterator rules. The normal break iterator rules mostly sufficient for most languages. Some need own implementations. We have a rule-based collator. That means every language has its rules how to sort characters, numbers, and so on. You can extend these rules. For some languages, this is necessary. And we use the Glyph layout engine, which is especially important in the writer. And VCL uses also the Glyph layout engine to provide all this functionality on the edit engine, which is used by other applications to display text. Then we use calendar routines. Currently, the ICU 2.6 we use only has Gregorian calendar. The new ICU will have also, a Hebrew calendar, but it has a Hijri calendar, which is used in Arabic countries, Islam. We do not use any local data from the ICU because we define our own local data. We don't use the encoding conversions between different text encodings, like ISO 88591 to Unicode or vice versa. We have our own implementation there. And we don't use string functionality because we already have several own string classes. And we don't use number formatting because we have our own number formatter. Because our number formatter has to display everything Excel is able to. We are at least trying to do this. There are, of course, some shortcomings of the framework we have. There are some design legacies, like it was started as a replacement of the class International I mentioned. So because of this, it's sometimes had its limited views, and it was designed to support the existing code of the applications. It was not designed to be a general framework that can be used in any environment, though this is possible. The main obstacle sometimes is that the published API is not easily extensible because it has to be kept stable. Once we publish the API, we are bound to support the API forever, more or less, if we don't decide otherwise. We can get new methods only via optional interfaces. And the struct that holds local data items can't change size. So if we want new local data items, we have either to invent new structs or to rewrite the things and offer properties, normal UNO properties. There's one enum with Unicode scripts, and this without the supersizer can't be extended. The supersizer in this term is it's necessary for Java. Java uses enums as a set, and if you have a defined set of enums, you can't extend it anymore. Otherwise, older applications using that Java enum will crash. And this enum does not have the supersizer that says the enum range can go beyond what we have right now. So if Unicode comes up with new scripts, we cannot add it to the enum. We have to invent new constants for that. What we plan to do next and what is ongoing right now also is the alignment of the CLDR, the Common Local Data Repository, which combines local data of several applications, for example, OpenOffice.org, the Java SDK, the Windows local data, and local data the ICU used. All these are merged into the Common Local Data Repository. And there's a common subset where it's agreed that these local data is probably the best to use. It is not always what is determined by the governments that had to be used, but it is what people will use mostly. There is a document on the openoffice.org website, on the LTNN website, this local data audit document, where are about 90 or 100 locales listed, with the differences between the openoffice.org local data and the common local data repository. And that started, the comparison started in November last year. And I must say, we didn't have much feedback on this. I asked several times on the mailing list to people to look up that data and to identify which of the data is correct. Is it the data that openoffice.org uses, or is it the data that the common local data repository defines? Unfortunately, not much feedback. So we have to guess some of the values then later. What I've done for 2.0 was aligning a first set of local data of around about 15 locales where we were clear that the common local data repository has better data on it. We merged into openoffice.org. Peter Nugent from Sun Ireland provided me with some tools to do this. They convert between the openoffice.org XML local data format and the CLDR local data format, which is also XML. He promised me to open source them. I don't know right now what the status of that is. And I will align most remaining locales for OpenOffice 2.0.1. There are only a few locales where we really don't know what to do with it, but most of them will be aligned after that. And there's of course the other way around, where the openoffice.org local data is better than the common local data repository. This again means that if we want to align with the common local data repository in future by automatic means, merging in local data as soon as they arrive for the next version, it means you have to file bugs against the common local data repository and provide some evidence, which means some online references or books, why you think the local data you submit is better than what they have. This has to be done. Nobody does it. That's the problem. So it's almost me alone who files some bugs, and Peter Nugent, of course, he's very active in that area. What you plan for the near future, I call near future here in terms of OpenOffice or 3.0, is an upgrade to the newer versions of ICU, which is 3.4 right now and will be probably 3.6 when we are ready with that. We will eliminate almost all patches we currently apply to the ICU. We have a lot of patches to the ICU that are necessary. Sorry. That are necessary to build it on several systems that the ICU wasn't meant for. And our overall goal is to use a system ICU if it's present. For example, on Solaris, on Linux, you most times have an ICU. This was not possible because we had applied so many patches, and otherwise it wouldn't work. So the goal of nearing that is coming nearer. The new ICU has much better support of glyph layout for Indic languages, which are very complicated glyph layouts sometimes. And the upstream ICU will incorporate the openoffice.org patches for Khmer and Tibetan Thanks to Javier. Of course, it will remove some minor annoyances. For example, this ISO SRYU clutch instead of SRCS is not necessary anymore. The ISO standard is not fixed in the sense of its eternity. And they reused the CS code, for example. The CS code was previously Czechoslovakia and is now reused for Zero Kroatien. Same with the SAYU clutch, which is nothing else in Serbian but in a Latin script. The other Serbian is in a Cyrillic script. And this can be supported by OOO as soon as we support the script identifiers. But I don't think this will come in 3.0. I'm not sure yet. What we have in the medium future is will be necessary to support all of the new RFC 3066B I mentioned, which is currently in a draft state, draft of the IETF LTRU, which is the Internet Engineering Task Force for Language Tech Registry Updates. You can read all about it at these two URLs. And this introduces some new tags. Previously, the previous RFC 3066 only had its language and country. And now the RFC 3066B introduces the script in between. So all parsing routines must be updated, must be adapted to this. The tag parts language, script, and region are initially conforming to the ISO standards. Initially means if in case ISO decides to throw away some code, to reuse some code, we will not be in the situation anymore, for example, what we had with the CS code. Because then what will happen then is these codes will be registered with the IANA. And we will continue to use the codes. Stability of and accessibility of the underlying ISO is not guaranteed. ISO can at any time decide we want to use other codes. It's just up to the ISO standards committee. What we have in the future, of course, is we want to separate string resources from the build process, because this nowadays is the main disadvantage of localizing openoffice.org. You have a bunch of tools that extract all the strings from resource files, put them into PO files, make them ready for translation. These PO files then are converted to GSI files. GSI files are submitted. Ivo Hinkemann converts them to a database. From the database, it's merged into the resource files, and then it's built. It's a whole complicated way. Separating these strings is not on any concrete target right now. Some people are thinking about it, but there's no code, no system developed, not specified anything. We really need people who work on this. We at Sun cannot do everything. So it's really, we need developers for this. Then some minor annoyances like the genitive month names you have, for example, I think also in Serbian. So in a lot of Slavic languages use two forms of month names. One for the calendar, what you see on as a column, for example, column header, and the other is if used in dates. So the 22nd day of March is written different than if you just say month March. This sounds easy, but it isn't, because OO needs, of course, adapt the data, and we need to support it in different routines we have, like the get display name from the global calendar interface, and the number formatter must support it, and other code places probably have to be adopted. Every place in the UI where month name is used single has to be checked if it shouldn't be a genitive form, or vice versa. And there's, of course, is needed a support for plural forms. Different languages have different plurals, so nowadays we often have in the resources variables, for example, and plural forms are different if you have just one item or two items. Simple in English, just append an S, but differs, of course, in other languages. There's, from my opinion, only one URL you only have to bookmark. That's my own URL I use as my own bookmark page. Simply, and there you find everything about all the standards and what's going on and the drafts that are currently developing and many informational pages. And I will always update it, so probably will be up to date, more up to date than other pages. And that's it. How what? Can yes, there have been thoughts about that, that's right. But there's no service implemented for it. There's an interface, but that has no implementation right now. So, has to be done. Any more questions? Are you talking about the what you have on the keyboard and differs from what you expect in the application? Yeah. Yeah. How it does work? That doesn't come from the ICU. That's handled by the VCL layer, and just what you configure in the what you say in the configuration. If you want to override it with a normal dot, what you have on the keyboard, is just in the VCL layer that intercepts what's coming from the keyboard and passes it onto the application. So just exchanges the yeah. The what? Insert symbols? Ah, special characters. Yeah, yeah. Would can I have a look? That one's running on battery here. You mean? Who is it? Where is it? Yeah. I don't know why it is disabled here. Torsten? Why is it disabled? Somewhere, okay, right. Okay, right. Yeah. So. Yeah. Yeah, sure, that's a Unicode value. What do you use it for? Some people just know the values, and some of these characters are very similar to my few examples here. Yeah, so for example, all these eyes with something. If you, very similar. If you know how they differ, you can decide very quickly. Yeah, it's pure information. Yeah. No. Time? Okay, we'll finish then. Thank you.